My friends, as I entered the sanctuary, the sermon got shorter and shorter. So I'm going to take this off, which makes it a little longer. What a delight it is to be with you today. Classes of Greater Palisades and the membership of the Second Reformed Church in Hackensack. I looked last evening at your 52-year history and discovered that I've known all of your pastors for the last 50 years. And so some of you have known them as well. I'm delighted and honored, and it's a great joy for me to be here. And especially for my friends Anna and Duane, it is a delight and a great joy to share this day with you. So I asked Anna what I should preach about. And she said, well, Duane and I have been talking a lot about doing a new thing. And I said, I know the passage. The Israelites had been taken out of their land. They had been taken to Babylon. They stayed there in exile for 70 years. The writer of the 43rd chapter of Isaiah overhears, or in a sense is God's instrument to speak to these people in exile. Listen now again to a few of the phrases from that 43rd chapter just read for us. But now, thus says the Lord, who has created you, O Jacob, and who has formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west. I will gather you from the north and from the south. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I'm about ready to do a new thing. It's about ready to spring forth. Do you not perceive it? This is God whispering to his people in exile. It's the whisper that God gave to Adam and Eve as they exited the garden and they had lost their home, and God whispered to them, I'm about ready to do a new thing. You've disobeyed me, but I am still with you. I will care for you outside the gates of the garden. And here we still are with God in our midst. It was the whisper of God to Noah, who underwent a 40-day hurricane that did not stop and destroyed everything in its path. And Noah was in the midst of that ark, wondering if he would live and his family would finally survive. And God whispered, I'm about ready to do a new thing. Do you not perceive it? It was the whisper to Abraham, who was 75 years old when he called the moving vans. And God said, I'm about ready to do a new thing. I'm going to take you to a land I know. You don't know anything about it. Get the moving vans. You're 75. Doesn't matter. I'm about ready to do a new thing. It's the whisper of God to Isaac. Remember Isaac and Esau? Isaac was the smooth one, the one who cheated his brother, who went to a far country and married and came back to face him. And the night before, he wrestled with an angel and he limped over the Jabbok. And God whispered, not only to him, but to Esau, I'm about ready to do a new thing. Don't kill the boy. I know that you want to kill him, but I'm about ready to do a new thing. It's the whisper to Joseph. Remember Joseph, the 11th son, the one thrown in a pit by his jealous brothers, the one thrown into prison in Egypt, the one who had dreams. It's God whispering to him, I'm about ready to do a new thing for this land, this foreign land, and I will bring to you your family. It's the whisper of God out of a burning bush to Moses, who is out being a shepherd, saying, it's time to go back. And Moses said, you don't understand. I don't have a Master of Divinity degree. I can't speak very well. And even those who have degrees don't speak all that well. And God said, come, I'm about ready to do a new thing. Come, come with me. It's the whisper to Esther. Remember Esther, who stood up strong? It's the whisper to Esther, stay strong, stay faithful. I'm about ready to do a new thing. It's the word to Mary, almost only a child, who was about to give birth to a child. I'm about ready through you to do a new thing. It is in the face of Jesus, God's stamp. This is the new thing. This is the new thing. He has come to live with you. He is among you. And then one of my favorite stories, Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. God came to him one day and said, Jerry? He always called him Jerry, you know? When you're God, you can call people by that, you know? Jerry, I want you to go down to the potter's house. And there he went to the potter's house. Do you remember? And the potter is there and he's forming this pot, and it was spoiled. And he threw the clay upon the round again. And he made a new one. And it was God who whispered, I'm about ready to do a new thing. I'm about ready to do a new thing. Here we are, my friends, members, the classes of this congregation, friends, colleagues. God is about ready to do a new thing at Second Reformed Church in Hackensack, New Jersey. Now, new things pop up at places that are always a little surprising. We expect new things to appear on the first page of the newspaper. I don't know if you remember newspapers, but often new things are buried on page 23 in the corner. I'm about ready to do a new thing. Often it's among the weak, it's among the marginalized, it's among those who are invisible to us, who bring new things to us, where we learn new things. Luke tells a story that I love. It's the story of Jesus who went back to his hometown in Capernaum. And there he had a Saturday evening revival. And the house was crowded. Do you remember this? House was crowded. And the doors, you couldn't get through them. The high priests and the people of the law had come. So you had all the scholars, the general synod professors of theology. They were all there. And they were filling the house. And then came one who needed to be healed. The four friends came to the door. It was crowded. And the usher was very kind, and he said, well, do you see the large auditorium down the street? If you go there, we have a video of what's going on inside the house. So I'm sorry, but there's just not a lot of room in the house, you understand. So if you could just go on down the street. Four friends thought about this for a while, and they decided, no, we think we have a better idea. There were a set of stairs, as was the case in Middle Eastern houses. Up the side of stairs they went, and they began to dismantle the roof. Do you remember this? As a child, I always thought, I can't believe it. They're doing it. They're taking the roof apart. Made of sticks and stones and wood, and they began to take it apart. Now imagine if you were in the house, what you saw was these things fluttering down, you know? Somebody up there, and all of a sudden, shingles start coming down, you know? And you say, something's going on. And then, all of a sudden, in the middle of this crowded house, comes this man on a pallet, almost into the lap of Jesus. And Jesus looks up and he sees the four friends and he says, "Your faith has made him well. Pick up your bed and walk." Do you remember it? A new thing happened. Not in the middle of the crowd, not in the middle of the theological learned folk. It happened behind the crowd with four simple friends who would not give up and would not go to the overflow room in the auditorium when the in-circuit video. New things happen in surprising places. And so, my friends, Second Reformed Church, watch. Watch carefully for the surprising places where the new things will be birthed, conceived and birthed and grow. One of my favorite stories is about Mother Teresa. Almost 20 years ago, I was in a liturgy in the cathedral of the Roman Catholic Cathedral in Baltimore. Mother Teresa had been there some months before, and I sat next to a bishop who shared the story that when Mother Teresa attended the service and that was in her honor, the cathedral was absolutely packed, the governor and the senators and all kinds of folk. And they came up from the front and went down the side aisle and came up the center aisle, and they got almost to the front, and all of a sudden someone whispered, "Where is she?" Now, how you misplace a saint, I'm not sure, but somewhere along the line, they misplaced her. They were coming up the center aisle, and there they were without a saint. They began to look. No one would be seated. Everyone was in great alarm until someone who was incredibly wise thought, "Well, you know, they came around the back. I wonder if we ought to look outside the front door." And so they did. And there they found Mother Teresa on the front steps with those who could not get into the sanctuary. Who went out to see her said to Mother Teresa, "You must come in. This is in your honor." To which she responded, "No, I've come to be with my people." Outside the sanctuary. Outside. One of the great struggles of the church is to believe that somehow or another we have all of the truth and the grace in here and there is nothing in the world. Only to discover, as said in the 25th chapter of Matthew, in the poor, in the imprisoned, in the naked, one sees the face of Christ. We glimpse God not only in here, but when we leave this place. 10 days ago, Vicki and I returned from our first retirement trip. I don't know if you can tell I'm retired, but I'm retired, all right? 3 months. And let me tell you, there have not been any transition problems, okay? No transition problems. The biggest question I have is, do I cut the lawn today or tomorrow, you know? That's the kind of struggle I have, existential. We went to Utah, and we visited Zion and Bryce National Parks in the northern rim of the Grand Canyon. We did some hiking. We were with friends. We ate great meals. The vistas were spectacular. The beauty was amazing. But the last day we were in Zion, and it was a very short walk to a place called the Mossy Cave. It's only a quarter of a mile. We said, "Okay, we can do this." We had put in a long day. We thought, we'll just do a short one. So we up the mountainside we went. We got to this cave, and in the desert, in this cave, there's moss, and there is constantly running water. And you look at it, and our guide said to us, "So let me tell you about this water. Do you know that the last time this water saw light was 4,000 years ago. When it fell on the plateau, when Abraham was being called, that rain fell, and it took 4,000 years to work through that rock. And there we saw it. The story simply is to say that when God says, I'm about to do a new thing, God has done this over and over, year after year, decade after decade, century after century, millennial after millennial. The water has come through the rock. And here you are, Second Reformed Church, you're about ready to get a bath. You're about ready to get a bath. The water will come, and in the midst of it, you will be baptized into a new future. In 1855, this congregation was formed. Do the numbers. It's 112 years ago. No? Longer ago than that. I won't even try. You're older than 100 years old. You think Abraham had trouble at 75? Congregations that have gone this long often say, you know, we've never done it this way before. It's the great creed of the church. Or, gee, I'm not sure we can do that. Listen, discern, expect God to be doing new things. In this remarkable day, in this new ministry, in this historic congregation, in the middle of this remarkable city, God whispers to you, I'm about ready to do a new thing. Do you not see it? Amen. Now to the one who was, who is, and who is to come be all honor and glory this day and forever. Amen.